Yeah, maybe we can give our worship team a round of applause again. They did a great job for their first time, maybe their second time. I believe second, all right? Third?
First here
at the retreat, that's right. Yeah, thank you guys for leading us, and you did a great job. But, you know, just looking around, I'm so thankful for our teens that we have, you know, a team serving on our live stream here, doing our presentation as well. And I think that our teens, in many ways, this next generation is leading in what I want to talk about today. It's exciting to see. Now, we've been in a couple of different series as we've ended the year here, and as we begin 2026. Now, next week, we're going to start a new series, and you know that we like to preach through books. We like to do expository preaching. And we're looking forward to starting the book of Romans next week. We hope that's going to be an encouragement to you. The series is going to focus on gospel transformation. And we believe that's what this book of Romans is really about, what we want you to understand. So it's going to take us a little bit of time. We're going to be going all the way to the summer with this new series. We encourage you to get prepared for that. But today we wanted to talk, just as we enter this first part of the year, just about what we're here for. You know, I think in the midweek update, we kind of titled this message as membership today, what it means to be part of a member of our church. But I think that what we want to talk today about is actually bigger than that. Because at Crossway, we're not about numbers. We're about maturity. That's our desire this year, that we would have gospel growth as a church. Crossway exists to bring glory to our God. And we're a group of people on a mission. And I hope you see that this year, as we enter this year, that we are on mission together. That our desire, like our prayer guide, actually, Enrico put this verse, reminds us to take up our cross and follow. Daily, that's what we're trying to do in this new year. We're meant to be a community on the move. We're meant to be forward-leaning. But in order to do this, I think we really have to understand first what we do, who we are, why we do it, and how we do it. And those are the three questions we're going to try to answer today. What, why, and how. Now, today, I'll be honest, I feel a little bit more like I'm a CEO or giving a TED Talk a little bit than a pastor. And I do have a master's in business, so it feels comfortable today a little bit, what we're going to talk about to a degree. But I think that sometimes we think of membership in the wrong way. Now, it's important to understand when we look at that word membership, we see an important word in there. We see the word ship. And actually, for many generations, the church has seen themselves as a ship, anchored but ready to be on the move. And this is why we see membership in a different way. Now, many churches see themselves as maybe a houseboat, and I got a picture of a houseboat here. You know, maybe somewhere where you can chill. You know, those boats don't look like they're going anywhere, do they? They are anchored in place, and they're not in any way preparing to move. But membership is just a way, I think, of identifying in a deeper way with others of the common goal that we have, what we actually hold in common. And the reality is that we're participating in community in a specific way that should cause us to move in the same direction. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, where are we going this new year? Now, you may feel the winds are shifting at Crossway. We even prayed today about us in just a couple months moving to a new location. You know, we've been in this location for over 20 years, and this is a big move. It may feel like things are changing. This may even be a little scary. There's a lot of unknowns when you're on the move. I remember when our family moved here 8 years ago to a new country. It was a really tough thing to understand what was coming. And this can bring anxiety. We look at what is coming for our church this year with new locations. We have new leadership that we talked about that we're looking to bring on. And these things that our church, they may cause our church to look differently than it has. This past year, I believe it was a year of growth. It's encouraging to see the people that are coming. It's encouraging to see the numbers here at Crossway, but also the growth at our sister church at Fellowship Potsdam. Also, this just a couple months ago, planting a new church in Karlsdorf. These are things that show us that growth is happening. And whether we want to admit it or not, we must understand that we are a church on the move as we enter this new year. So the question is, how can we live on mission as a church in 2026? How can we stay anchored in the midst of a changing season? I think we must know who we are before we can move forward. And fortunately for us, the course has been set well. And last week, Pastor Martin, he reminded us that we stand on the shoulders of giants. I have two of these giants right here on this next slide, three, I guess you could say. Many of you know this family that's been so important to our church, that has established the way well, that's guided us so well for so many years. And even now we have those with us. You know, I don't want to call Christy a giant. She might not like that. Christy Walker, you know, but from the beginning, they have been part of a team that has guided this church. And now we have others. I see Pastor Martin as a giant in this way. I see those that are serving on our leadership as giants. And what we understand is that we have had a good foundation to build on. And I'm thankful for that. And we must understand what we do as a church. And from the very beginning, we've had a mission statement that has guided us towards this. It's a little long, you might not know it. But it says, we exist to gather people from various nations in worship of God, instruction from the Bible, and fellowship with one another in order to scatter in evangelism in Berlin and throughout the world. So we gather for three things: for worship, instruction, and fellowship. And hopefully as we do these things, we become equipped, we become mature in a way so that when we scatter in evangelism, we actually fulfill our mission. We actually take on our mission. Matthew 28 gives us what the mission of the church is, and really what our mission at Crossway is, just trying to say what it says in Matthew 28, verses 18 and 20, where Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And see, he says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you." And he says, "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." We do these things. These are the things that we do as a church as part of our mission to make disciples, because we believe that this is how we bring God glory. So first we must understand our mission, who we are, what we are doing. But I think we also must understand the values that guide us to stay on course. And these values, again, were set from the very beginning. And we've kind of condensed these, tried to help us understand what these are in an easier way. But I think that these values, if we're a ship, really what they are is our compass. They're the things that are keeping us on track. They're key things that we hold in common, key values that guide us. And each of these, they're guided by God's word. They're like coordinates that keep us on track. And the first one is, we value authenticity. Now you might say, well, what does that mean? Value authenticity. And I think that it's communicated really well in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. This is what we mean when we say we value authenticity. What we're saying is that we're meant to walk together in the light, that we're to come out of the darkness. And I think what this means for us as a church, that we're not a museum, but we're a hospital. We recognize that at times we're sick and we need each other. We need to bring things into the light, to value authenticity with one another in a way where we have a community that lives together and desires fellowship. And it actually leads us to understand this next value, to desire fellowship. And we see in Acts the church really lived this out well in the early church, don't we? In Acts 2, 46 through 47, man, this is encouraging to see what was going on. It says, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number by day those who were being saved. And what we see is that we assemble together with glad and generous hearts. This is what we're hoping to do here today, actually. That we're meant to come together to praise our God. Fellowship is vital if we're to stay on course. Now, this might be scary for some of you. You know, my wife is an introvert. I know there's other introverts in this church. And fellowship can be a scary thing if this is your tendency, if this is your personality, right? But there's a purpose. There's a purpose why we come together, why we encourage one another, why we try to show up even sometimes when we're struggling with glad hearts to praise our God, to help others know how they can love God as well. And notice the effect healthy fellowship has on community. Because it leads us to understand the next thing that we value, which is to seek multiplication. We believe that seeking to multiply is vital for our church and for our city. That multiplication is a guidepost that tells us that we're on track. But I think that how we seek multiplication matters, because churches, they approach this in different ways. Now, what we find in Acts is that as multiplication happens, new problems may present themselves. A little bit later in Acts, in chapter 6, it says this: now, in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because of their widows. They were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12, they summoned the full number of the disciples and said, is it not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables? Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And notice here that the multiplication happens as the body responds. As numbers were added, the leaders in the church decided to move towards finding a solution for this. We see new leaders rise up to meet the needs of the body. And notice that the body devotes itself, as the body devotes itself to prayer and to the ministry of the word, then things change. That this is what we're about. We're about coming together for prayer, for ministering the word to one another. That this has got to be vital for us to have a healthy community, for multiplication to happen. And notice what happens next. And it says, and what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase. Do you hear that? And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Notice the effect when the body responds to new needs and works properly together in the way it should. Notice what happens. The numbers of disciples multiplied greatly. That this is what healthy multiplication looks like. Multiplication is about maturity and not numbers. And this is why we place a higher importance on training leaders to help us set the proper course and to stay on course. This is our next value, that we train leaders. These are the things that we want to do as a church that are guiding us on our mission. And we want to be a community that trains people well to minister to the body. Now, Paul, he reminds the church in 2 Timothy of our responsibility. He says in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And then he goes on in chapter 3 and he says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete." And then what does it say? "Equipped for every good work." That is what we are doing as a church. That is why we are training leaders, so that we will be equipped for every good work. And we stay on course when we train leaders to teach God's word well. When we equip the body for every good work. I love the German here at the end. You notice there it says, "Zu allem guten Werkgeschicht." It's this idea that we're actually sending one another out for this purpose, to pursue good works. So as we increase in the knowledge of God's word, what will it do? It'll actually cause us to pursue these good works. We'll see ourselves as those who are sent out to serve others. And we see this value, this next one, serving others, that ultimately our mission is actually propelled forward by service. That this is the way that has been established by the one we follow. And we find the perfect example of the one we follow. Why we believe service is so important in this church. And we find it in Mark 10:42-45. And look what Jesus says. He called them his disciples and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom for many." That's got to be our desire as a church as we enter this year, that we give our lives away to one another, that we live as a living sacrifice for the glory of our God. It's through serving others that we best reflect the Son of Man. And it's becoming this servant that brings forward the kingdom of God. Now, ultimately, all these values, they lead us to fulfill one critical value if we really want to understand why we gather, why we scatter as a church. And it's this, that the church is meant to equip saints. And this actually takes us to our passage for today, why I chose this passage, Ephesians 4, to talk about this mission that we're on as a church. Because it's very clear, it says that the leaders, this is what they do. It says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to do what? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." That is what we're after. To equip saints so the body of Christ will be built up to maturity, to the full manhood of Christ. Jesus has come to make us a new man and a new woman. It's why we prioritize these values at Crossway, because it's these values that keep us on course and help us understand why we do what we do. You know, it's important not just to know who we are, what we do, but why we do it. Why do we do these things? I think our vision statement answers this really well. It says to build up disciples in Christ who present him to the nations. Now, putting this in the context of Ephesians 4, we could say to build up the body of Christ so that they will attain full maturity. That our hope as leadership is that you would grow in your faith this year. That you would learn better how you can represent Christ to those around you. We've succeeded if that happens. The hope is that we would look more like Christ at the end of this year as a church. I think ultimately we want to be a people that is not swayed. And we enter this year with a lot of uncertainty around the world. A lot of unanswered questions. But how will we hold firm this year? How will we grow up and not be shaken by the waves? In our text in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, it says, why we equip saints. This is the answer that Paul gives us. So that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human covering, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. But rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And what we find is that equipping is synonymous with becoming more like Christ. It is how we build one another up in love. That's what we want to be about this year, that we would bear with one another in love, as it says in our passage. That means that we bear with people that we're struggling with, people that have offended us, people that's personality is so different than ours that we struggle to be around them. I know that we all have those. But we must equip one another for maturity. Verse 12 calls us to equip saints for the work of the ministry. If we're equipping properly, what will happen? Well, I believe our community, it will be marked by a culture of building up one another. It'll be marked by what Pastor Martin said at the end of his message last week, that we're giving to one another. We'll be marked by serving one another, giving away the grace we have received. You know, specifically, we will give our gifts to one another. Ephesians 7 and 8 say, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives. And then look what it says. He gave gifts to men. And what we find is that each one of you has been equipped uniquely for the purpose of building up the body, for helping the body hold together. Now notice the result in verse 13 of when equipped saints begin to serve one another. It says that they will move towards attaining unity of faith, that as we give our gifts to one another, we'll achieve a unity of faith that will grow in our knowledge of the Son of God. This is actually how we move on to full manhood, to full maturity. And this is why we have developed this simple process for making mature disciples at Crossway. Because we want you to move towards maturity. And we've actually kind of put this in place this past year. And hopefully you understand better the things that we do, our identity, why we do them, where we're going. But we also have to ask ourselves, how do we do it? How do we use the things, these things that we're given, to attain our aim? To help us understand this better, I think this past year, like I mentioned, we've introduced this idea of love, build, and serve. Hopefully you've heard that. Maybe you know. Franz went over it this morning. Theirs is a little different. It's sow, grow, and go. But those are the things that we want you to. Someone asks you, well, what are you about at Crossway Church? A good thing to answer is we love, we build, and we serve. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, we believe that this is how we disciple one another. This is actually how we come together for the purpose of helping one another grow. And the first is we love God and worship. This is exactly what we're doing right now. This is why we're here, to learn how we can love God better as we worship together. This is the equipping of the saints for ministry part that we heard in Ephesians 4, that we come together regularly in worship and instruction for this purpose. And we do this so that we will learn to love God better. And hopefully as we learn to do this well, and this is maybe the first step, you know, to just show up regularly, to hear God's word regularly, to praise God together with others. But hopefully once we learn to do this, we'll see the need to build up one another in community. That this is the second part, that our hope is that we would build up the body of Christ in this way. And we see the value of going deeper in community. You know, it's one thing to show up on Sunday, but there's a deeper level of discipleship that comes when we actually participate in something more, when we participate in a small group. And this is why we think it's important, if you're not connected with a small group, that in this new year you find a group of other believers to connect with for the purpose of participating in discipleship. We see the value in participating in deeper community. The purpose of joining a small group is for this purpose. Because we believe that as we participate in discipling one another, that we'll be encouraged to do the last part of our discipleship process, which is to serve like Christ. That this is actually the attaining mature manhood or maturity part of what we see in Ephesians 4. That growth happens when we take the knowledge of the perfect man, Jesus Christ, and we desire to be like him, the servant of all. We model the perfect man to those around us in service. So as we close today, I know we have been talking about the body. We've been talking more of a corporate nature of who we are as a church. But if I could ask you one final question, what is your part in all of this? How do I recognize whether I am staying on course? And as part of the body, you have a role to play. You might ask yourself, how do I stay on course in this new year? And I encourage you to look back at the beginning of our passage in Ephesians 4. It says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And it says this, this is how we know. We do this with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We learn to consistently walk in the Spirit. That we learn to intentionally seek to bear the fruit of the Spirit. What will be the things that you grow in this year? Will it be humility, gentleness, patience, long-suffering, unity, and peace? My desire for you as one of your pastors is that these things would increase, not only in your lives, but in my life as well. Because this is the picture of the perfect man. This is the picture of the one that we follow. This is what it means to take up your cross daily and to follow. This is what membership is all about. To be a member at this church is to love, build, and serve. Is this the mindset that we're approaching this year with? If not, then I think that we must change course. We must be a community that lives for the glory of our God. So whether you're a member at Crossway or not, that's not really the question today. But how will you deepen your commitment this year to being a disciple of Christ, to helping others become the disciples of Christ for his glory? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to talk about why we are here. We thank you for giving us a reason to come together, to gather for this purpose, because of the great things you have done. Lord, I pray that this year you would increase and we would decrease. Lord, I pray this year that we would be a community that builds one another up. Lord, that we would be a community that presents you better than anyone else in this city to the nations. Lord, I pray that ultimately our heart's desire would be to turn our eyes to Jesus. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you once again for joining us this afternoon. We know it was maybe not easy for you to get here, but it's an encouragement that you came. Thank you so much. This year, if you're interested in becoming a member at Crossway, really what it's about is what we talked about today, our mission, vision, and values. If you identify with these things and your desire is to be discipled by others as well, then we encourage you to join our membership in this new year. We can give you more information about that. I just want to end with, just before our passage, these verses that came in Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Says this: "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Dem aber, der über alles hinaus zu tun vermag, über die Maßen mehr, als wir erbitten oder erdenken, gemäß die Kraft, die in uns wirkt. Ihm sei die Herrlichkeit in der Gemeinde und in Christus Jesus auf alle Geschlechter hin von Ewigkeit zu Ewigkeit. Amen. Thank you so much for coming this afternoon.